think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And
we don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart
most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
The idea is, all right, I've crossed over, so what the hell? In for a penny, in for a pound.
There you go.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the What the Hell Effect.
There are many theories in psychology with great names, and we have highlighted a number of them over the years on this show. But one that we have not yet hit that is wonderfully named is something called the What the Hell Effect. So what is the What the Hell Effect? Imagine that you're trying to change a behavior. So there's something you used to do and you don't want to do it anymore. So maybe you were a smoker, you don't want to smoke anymore. Or maybe you were overeating and so you put on weight, now you want to eat differently and you don't want to overeat anymore, you're trying to lose weight. And often a strategy that you adopt in this kind of situation is to really completely quit the thing that you used to do and to really draw a bright line between success and failure. So if you smoke a cigarette, you've crossed the bright line. Or if you overeat one day, you've crossed the bright line. And the what the hell effect is the observation that in that situation, people who cross that line, even just a little, so they have one cigarette and suddenly they've smoked two packs. Or they overeat a little and suddenly they are lying on the couch covered in Chinese food containers and bonbon wrappers.
What's challenging about this is that making any kind of behavior change is hard to begin with. And I think most of us are ready for an excuse to say, I'm tired of this and I just want to go back to the way things were. And, you know, with the best of intentions, I think we make plans about what we want to do differently in the future. And it's interesting how little it takes to tip the scales. I know we're using a lot of weight metaphors here, but to tip the scales in such a way that we say, well, what the hell? I've already blown it. So what difference does it make?
One of the issues here is it's fine to have an ideal. What we're not one way of saying this is, well, we can make everything a kind of shade of gray, in which case it can be difficult to figure out what I should be doing optimally in order to achieve some significant goal. But the alternative is to say, look, there's an ideal for me. But just because you have an ideal doesn't mean that everything that deviates from that ideal is an abysmal failure.
Yeah.
And it's this idea that we are taking the world and dividing it up into success and failure, where all failures are equally bad. And that's what gives rise to the what the hell effect, because now once you cross the line into failure, it's all fair game. Yeah. If I'm going to fail a little, I may as well fail full out.
We don't want to miscommunicate the idea that everybody should leave yourself a little wiggle room, you know, but that's not what we're talking about. It's recognizing our frailties as human beings and to say that often, even with our best of intentions, we sometimes don't make it. We sometimes don't achieve what we want to achieve. So what we're not suggesting is that people lower their aspirations, but to recognize the fact that sometimes things are not going to go as we would hope or as we would plan. And it's important to have ways to react to that and respond to that that are constructive and not just saying, well, what the hell, what difference does it make now?
Here's the danger. When you set things up by saying there's a boundary, but then there's gradations after the boundary, now crossing over the boundary doesn't necessarily feel as bad as it would if it were an utter failure. This is the tension. You know, and partly people need to get to know themselves a little bit. So if you are the sort of person who is going to tiptoe up to that boundary and then occasionally step over it, leading you to then roam the territory of failure for a while, then you're probably a good candidate for a more graded way of thinking about success and failure. But some people actually need to create that high wall in which a failure is such a huge failure that they're never tempted to cross it, in which case, give that a shot. So it's not that creating a boundary is always a horrible thing to do, but recognize what the influence is on your own behavior. And so people who are in a consistent cycle of abstinence from something that they're not supposed to do, followed by extreme non-abstinence, then, you know, that kind of binge and abstinence cycle is not effective for behavior change, yep. In which case a change in the way that you're conceptualizing what you're doing is probably warranted.
You know, the challenge of what we're talking about now is maintaining a sense of, you know, I have a goal. I have something that I want to accomplish that's important to me and important to my well-being and my life and those kinds of things. But also recognizing that I'm a human being and I move through different environments that make it either harder or easier for me to keep to the things that I want to have happen. And I need to accept that about myself too and not pretend that just because I really want to, I'm going to solve this problem, because things are going to happen. And I need to have a sense of when that happens, not to then say, what the hell, but then to say, okay, so now that that's happened, that's not good. Now I need to get on whatever my next step is.
Yeah. And to be ready for what you're going to do in the situations in which the challenge to the behavior that you're trying to maintain is too great. You need to know, what am I going to do? And you need to be thinking about that in advance. And of course, that advanced planning involves all sorts of things. It involves, you know, if we're thinking about eating behavior, that, you know, thinking in advance what are going to be the potential triggers for you overeating to begin with, so that you can actually plan what you're going to do in that situation. And also, in the event that you do overeat, here's what you're going to do after you find that you've overeaten. And whatever it is, whether it's eating or drinking behavior or drugs or premarital sex or whatever it is, to have that plan both for what you're going to do when the temptation arises, as well as a plan for what to do in the event that you fail at the ideal that you set for yourself, having those plans, acknowledging human fallibility up front, is a much better strategy than drawing a bright line between success and failure and not really having any plan yep. for how to navigate failure.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of a lost investment with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is usually our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head for KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.